Don't be shy. Step a little closer. I've been waiting to welcome you to Fright Radio. The name is Reaper. Radio Reaper. I have much to tell. It's enough to make someone scream. What a coincidence. Let's step inside, shall we? Fright Radio, a podcast for Halloween enthusiasts, home and professional haunters. I am your Radio Reaper, and before we kick off this, our second show, I wanted to take a few minutes to thank everyone who tuned into our first show. There was close to 800 downloads of the first show, and many supportive emails. I think I can speak for the entire crew of Fright Radio when I say we appreciate all the kind feedback and suggestions that were given to us. Now, as part of our efforts to continue to improve the show and add to its value, we've gone ahead and created the Fright Radio blog at frightradio.blogspot.com. At the launch of each and every new episode, you can head over to the blog, read a detailed outline of the show for the month, and look for time codes for where each segment appears in the show, as well as any pictures, links, or videos that are discussed within each of the segments. We're hoping that this will add value to the Fright Radio experience. Now, if I could just throw away the script for a minute, get that out of there, and speak candidly about the show for a few seconds, we did get a lot of questions about when is Fright Radio going to be airing? Is it going to be a monthly show, a weekly show? Is it just going to be every, a seasonal show? So just to answer that question right away, we do want to do a monthly show. That's what we're aiming for, and that's what I'm hoping to do for you guys every month is have Fright Radio out. Now, in addition to the actual Fright Radio show, I've decided that on a weekly basis on frightradio.blogspot.com to help spell when the bigger shows come out, we're going to have a 5 to 10 minute segment airing on frightradio.blogspot.com every week. So every week on Wednesday, come over to frightradio.blogspot.com and check it out. Hopefully this will feed the appetite, you know, for some Halloween content while you're waiting for the new Fright Radio to come out. It's going to also be that extra little source of something that's on the Fright Radio blog for you guys, other than just the outlines of the show. And just to get information on how the bigger shows are coming along, who's going to be the special guest interviews, and so on and so forth, we want frightradio.blogspot.com to be the place that you guys go. We will be doing a Facebook page soon. Hopefully even a Twitter. So again, keep an eye out on the blog for when those are going to be opening up for you guys to check out as well. And like always, feel free to email me at frightradiopodcast@gmail.com with any questions, suggestions, or anything. We love to hear from you guys. It's going to help make the show better and give us a chance to give you something back that you really want to hear. So without further ado, let's get into the segments for this month's show. Our policeman from the RIPD, Ghoulish Cop, gives us the lowdown on some scary Halloween statistics in his segment, The Haunt Rant. The Toy Haunter stops by to give his review of Hot Wheels 2013 Halloween Monster Cars. Chris and Jeff Davis go over some lighting techniques in their segment, The Davises Present. Dr. Mitsonian tells us how to whip up some creepy blood for all of our props and costume use in the Mad Lab. And I, your Radio Reaper, will interview the one and only Boneyard Creep, Steve Blumpke. Now, let me kick it on over to the Reckless Ones with Dead and Gone.
Thank you. Ghoulish Cop on the forums, chats, and video channels, back for another episode on Fright Radio. And no one's more surprised than I am that Grimlock has asked me back to do a follow-up to my first effort. But here's something really scary. Spending on Halloween this year is expected to fall by more than $1 billion. That's billion, with a B, than they spent a year ago. Even more disturbing is that fewer people, just 154 million, will be celebrating the holiday this year. That may sound like a lot, but a record 170 million people celebrated Halloween in 2012. Perhaps the lower numbers has something to do with all of us on the East Coast suffering through two straight years of not having a Halloween to celebrate. First, we had Snowpocalypse, where a major blizzard blew through town, burying some places in a foot of snow or more. Then Hurricane Sandy, wait, Superstorm Sandy, that knocked power out for a week or more, let alone blew our shit down the street, too. I admit this year I've been pretty much out of the loop on Halloween myself. After posting 60-something videos on my YouTube channel, that's Devil's Eve for all of you, my last one was in January or thereabouts, and I suddenly lost interest or drive, or something. I was completely unmotivated to build anything, and as my local make-and-take groups can attest, any meetings I was present at, I did it for the social aspects, and the drinking, more than anything else. It wasn't until Dave, from the Dead with Dave show, dragged me kicking and screaming to build a Thrasher prop 2 months back, that I started to get the feeling again. Then I built a section of fence for my yard display, and finally, some 2 or 3 weeks ago, the haunt feeling had kicked back into overdrive, and I decided now was the time to undertake the largest building project I ever did. So I imagine there might be just a few other haunters out there with the same level of blahs that I've had or worse. And for people who are outside of the haunt community, 2 years of not having a holiday to celebrate and to have fun with may have discouraged them as much as it has haunters. In reality, though, the National Retail Federation points to the economy as the biggest drag on spending, along with higher taxes. Of those they surveyed, more than 80% said they plan to spend less on everything to do with Halloween this year, precisely because of the economic situation. Total spending will only reach $6.9 billion compared with $8 billion last year. But it's not all doom and gloom. If we look at 2 year spending habits, average spending on Halloween has actually increased 55% since 2005. And this spending forecast is slightly higher than it was in 2011. But fewer people are buying candy too, with around 30% saying they plan to hand out less treats this year. Fortunately, only a tiny fraction are going all bah humbug and not giving out any candy at all. Now, one of the things I look forward to most this season is going to haunted houses, but a little less than 20% say they're cutting back on that too. Then again, considering how much some haunts charge for admission, it's easy to understand why people are doing that. A few friends of mine went to Six Flags Great Adventure for their Fright Fest attraction. I'd gone a few years ago and wasn't impressed at all by it, and while I was tempted to go this time, unless you had a season pass, they would have charged in the neighborhood of $100 to get in. And then there was the fee for the attractions itself. While my season pass holding friends had a good time, and they said some of the haunts were good, I think even they would admit it wouldn't be worth dropping a C-note to go. But then there was a small haunted house by me in Kingsburg at a local amusement park called the Haunted Manor. For just $4, you went through a kick-ass, super-detailed four-trailer haunt. That was truly terrific. The guy who owns it originally was a yard haunter himself and built it up to the point where he was able to go pro. You can tell from seeing his props that these were handmade, and I mean that in a good way. This was a labor of love for him, and it wasn't about buying the latest animatronics. He did a super job with it. And in the middle of those extremes was Brighton Asylum that my friend Sharon, Joysy Gal, works at. I was able to get an early look at the haunt and found they did a heck of a job too with upping the ante this year on their design. I did a write-up of it on my blog, also called Devil's Eve on Blogspot, but they're at a higher price point than Kingsburg. But with discounts that are usually available, you can get admission for around $20 or so, which isn't all that bad considering the level of detail and the fact that it was a long, long haunt. It was well worth the money. But unfortunately, with this economy, picking and choosing which haunts to attend this year, or whether to attend any at all, or whether you're going to buy candy or new decorations or props or costumes, comes down to priorities, and putting food on the table necessarily takes a higher place on the list than being the spooky house on the block. In the end, I'm trying to make up for lost time with my decorations, making up for having been a slacker all year long. With the days ticking away towards Halloween and crunch time really here, that's scary enough without having to also think there might be fewer people than already come to my house actually showing up this year. And really, it should only be Halloween and not the economy. That's scary. Thanks for listening, and happy haunting.
Zombie Ghost Train, R.I.P.
Hello, Fright Radio, and welcome to a very exciting episode of The Toy Haunter. I'm here to bring you news on what will be, by far, the best Halloween collectible out for the 2013 season. It's time to discuss the release of the hot, limited, and extremely hard-to-find Hot Wheels pop culture release, Universal Monsters. Following the successful series previously called Nostalgia, the classic Universal Monsters line are getting the Hot Wheels exclusive treatment as part of a 2013 Halloween release premium line that will include awesome deco, beautiful paint, sweet graphics, and real rider's tires. The line will include six popular cars, each featuring one iconic monster: Frankenstein, his bride, the creature from the Black Lagoon, the Wolfman, the Mummy, and of course Dracula, will all get their own special design. Let's talk about the six cars, and let's do it in order of movie release year. So, first off, let's go into Dracula, 1931. The car is Neat Streeter, a very popular Hot Wheels Hot Rod release. Car is red, has Dracula written on the side with a image of Dracula on the side as well. Bats all over the car. Red-lined Real Rider tires. So for those of you who don't know what Real Riders are, they are actual rubber tires, not the plastic ones you see on the Hot Wheels that are on every store shelf. So very hard to come across. Actually, all of these cars do have Real Riders. So very cool car. This one will be hard to find as it is short-packed in the cases. So if you do see this Dracula release, make sure you grab it. Even if you're not a fan, grab it anyways, because this one is going to be really hard to find and very hot. Next up, let's jump into Frankenstein, also 1931. It is the double demon panel edition of the Hot Wheel car. Very cool. It's silver and black with Frankenstein's mean-looking face on the top of the car. Has green highlights, green line Real Rider tires. This one is very cool looking. It's very sleek, very hot rod-ish too as well. But looks modern, so it's kind of a mixture. It has the engine sticking out, so it's open. There's no hood, and it's just a very cool car. I'm assuming because Frankenstein is a very popular monster that this one, too, will be hard to find, even though he's not one of the guys that is short-packed in the casing. Next up, we have the Mummy. It is a 1934 Chrysler Airflow car. Mummy, of course, 1932. This car looks very much like a car that was in an Indiana Jones movie. It just reminds me of an old Rolls-Royce, kind of. It is gold with some beige and tan highlights. It has the Mummy on the side reaching out for you. It says the Mummy on the car as well. It is very cool looking. Lots of gold highlights. The back tires are covered so you can't see them. He does have gold rims in the front. Gold engine, gold grille. It's just a very cool, elegant, rich-looking car. It looks like something, you know, a rich person would have owned back in the day, and it very much fits into the line of what you see in the Mummy movies, whether it's the old original or the newer ones that have come out recently as well. So the next one is a little odd. It is a 1959 Cadillac Funny Car. It is the Bride of Frankenstein, 1935. And this car is lifted in the back with the big tires, has the small tires in front, kind of like hot rodding. And it's designed to match the Bride of Frankenstein's hair. So the way her hair goes back off of her head, kind of in that lightning bolt, you know, white streak through it, it's lifted and angled in that manner. So it matches the shape of her hair. It's pretty cool looking. It has a red top. It's got purple on most of the car with red kind of racing stripe, pinstriping kind of deal. Lots of chrome, chromed out rims. Looks very cool. I think this one will be hot just because it's the girl car, but it's really not appealing to me for some reason, but it's already something I own. And it's, you know, it's just probably my least favorite in the line. It just looks a little too cartoonish for me. So now let's jump into my absolute by far favorite, and this is because I am definitely a Volkswagen guy. This is the Wolfman 1941. It is the Volkswagen T1 drag bus. This thing is just awesome. I mean, I can't describe how awesome it is. You guys have to see this. You guys have to, you know, when you see it, you'll want it. It has the Wolfman on the top of the bus with the words the Wolfman as well, some creepy clouds, great image of him with his claw right in front of his face. Now, the sides of the bus say the Wolfman in large lettering, and there is a wolf down kind of on the ground of the bus, and it looks like he's in the graveyard howling at the moon with a tree in the middle of the moon image. This thing is just phenomenal. It has by far the best graphics on any of the cars in the line. It's got the nice big Volkswagen logo in the front in chrome. It's got chromed out rims, chrome bumpers, red interior, I'm assuming for blood, and it just looks really cool. So when you guys see this Volkswagen bus, Wolfman edition, you guys are going to want it too, I'm positive. And last but not least, let's jump into The Creature from the Black Lagoon, 1954. This is Low Flow. This is a sleeked out bus model of Hot Wheel. It is green with lots of yellow highlights. Has the creature on the top as well as the sides of the bus. Very aerodynamic vehicle. Chromed out bumper. Chromed out rims with white wall tires. Very cool. This is actually one of the more boring of the cars, but you can't really say any of them are boring because they're all quite phenomenal. They're all going to be very highly sought after. So if you see any of these cars, make sure you guys grab them while you can. So I kind of cheated, and I actually purchased a set of these off eBay, but that's no fun. I've yet to see these in stores out here in California, but I know they've been released around the country. They are packaged in the G case from Hot Wheels, so it depends on when the stores receive and open them up and actually put them out on the shelves. Now, this collection is a must-have for all horror and Halloween fans, especially Universal Monsters collectors. These cars are in high demand, and Hot Wheel treasure hunters will be definitely swooping them up anytime they see them so they can sell them on the secondary market. If you see these in stores, buy them while you can because they won't be on the shelves very long. That is all for now, so I want to thank you for stopping by. Remember to subscribe to me on YouTube, Columbia Manor Haunted House, for more Toy Haunter episodes as well as the forthcoming Halloween maze build for the Devil's Carnival. I will scare you later.
Means Halloween, that happy holiday. The I is for a human, like a demon or a ghoul. And J is for Jack the Ripper. I knew him all through school. K is for our kitty, who prowls around at night. And L is for flashing lightning. Ooh, what a pretty sight. The M stands for the monster, a fun group, one and all. And N is for the nighttime, when creatures creep and crawl. O is for the wise old owl who lives in our treetop. And P is for poison ivy, we've grown a lovely crop. Q is for slimy quicksand, I'm sure you would have guessed. And R is for the raven who makes our closet his nest.
Nevermore, nevermore.
S is for this young whose eyes stare into space. And T is for Transylvania, my very favorite place. Now U is for the Undertaker, a friend who will let you down. And V, well, V's for vampire, there's just a few in town. Now W is for witchcraft, at which I'm quite a pro. And X, X marks the spot, that's Eddie's pet, you know. Now Y is for I got a bank, which I really dig the most. And Z, it stands for Sunday, that's for his cousin to a ghost. Now that completes our dungeon tour. I'm glad you came along. Oh, we've covered the whole alphabet in Grandpa's little song. But Grandpa's rather sleepy from working in the lab. So if you'll please excuse me, I think I'll put the slab.
Grandma?
Grandpa?
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 It was a long time ago, longer now than it seems, in a place that perhaps you've seen in your dreams, for the story that you are about to be told took place in the holiday worlds of old. Now, you probably wondered where holidays come from. If you haven't, I'd say it's time you begun.
This is Jeff Davis.
And Chris Davis.
We're with the Davis Graveyard. We're here to talk about how we do lighting at the graveyard, how we used to do it, and how we do it now.
Right. Back in the old days, we went through a lot of extension cords and a lot of floodlights. So the meter used to spin every time we turned the yard on. And
Lots of colors.
Because, of course, at that point, I really didn't understand the subtlety of colors. So I look back at the pictures now, and I call it a circus.
We're greens and blues and reds.
And just willy-nilly, kind of wherever we wanted them.
All over the yard, big bright green patches and blue patches. And it was very bright. We lit everything up with floodlights. We had lots of 100-watt floodlights, lots of power cords. And then we ran across someone at a haunt convention that was selling mini spotlights for LEDs that ran off 12 volts. So we bought a batch of those and plugged them in and aimed them at a couple of our tombstones and looked at them at night. And
oh, yeah, we bought all the colors that he had so we could find out which color we liked the best. Yeah. We made this little board that had all the lights colors on it. You turned them all one by one.
Yeah, we just kept testing it until we liked the right color in the dark. And a single mini spot could light up the whole tombstone, so from the street you could read the epitaph, but it didn't light up everything around it. So then we proceeded to buy mini spots for every single tombstone in the yard and a couple of accent lights. And then we got rid of all the floodlights and extension cords and ran everything off of a 12-volt power supply.
Right. We run two in the yard now, though, right? Each side of the yard or half
of the yard? Yeah, they're 30 milliwatt spotlights. So, I mean, we have so many that after a while it does add up. So you kind of have to watch the amperage on your 12-volt power supply.
I think we learned it by accident because one time we had like the last couple lights and weren't they like the wrong color?
It dimmed them so low. We couldn't see them.
Yeah, so we thought there was something wrong with the lights, and the guy we bought the lights from said, "No, you ran out of power."
So we just hook up a couple of power supplies and split up the yard in half, and it's still just 12 volts. And we just use regular black speaker wire. Mm-hmm. And when we first started doing it, the wires just come with bare, and we would just get black speaker wire and every time we set up the display every year, we'd hook up the wires and then electrical tape them.
That was okay when there was only about 30 tombstones in the air.
Yeah, and then we'd take all that off and put it away and coil it up, and the next year we just do the same thing over again. We thought that was so silly. We needed like a good connector mechanism, so we got a hold of some RCA cables, just extension cables with male and female ends, and cut them in half and soldered the cables onto the ends of the lights, which was nice because the lights came with like a 6-foot long wire, and this gave them another 6 feet so we could have longer wires. Mm-hmm. And then we made these, we call them snakes.
We call them octopuses.
Or octopuses, yeah, that's what they are, octopuses. Because they have a bunch of male, female ends, 5 female ends, and a male end on one end, so it splits off into 8 different ones, and they're all wired together, and we soldered them all up and taped them and sealed them really good. So you can plug a bunch of lights into one connector and then take that connector and plug it into the next one. So there's this kind of like star pattern of lights grouped together throughout the yard.
It's a big spider web.
And then at the end of the power supply, we put a RCA connector. So everything just connects with RCA connectors throughout the yard, and we don't have to worry about wiring things up, and we can just disconnect and coil them all back up.
Right.
And then Chris has... We started using 12-volt flicker lights, the same kind of thing, lights that flicker.
My candles.
Inside of a real candle. And those are all 12-volt lights as well, so we can just plug them into the same power supply and power them the same way and use the same connectors and the same wires, which works really well.
Especially when you have a bunch of people helping you set up. It's pretty uniform. It makes setup a lot easier. Nobody has to ask you about something special.
And if you trip on something, it just disconnects the connector instead of ripping the wires or tearing things out.
Which in the rain is much easier to put back together than sitting out there.
With a pair of wire strippers and some electrical tape.
Oh, I don't miss those days.
So, yeah, and that way the yard's pretty dark, except for the accent lighting we want to use. We use the lights we use are from MiniSpot. MiniSpotlight.com, and we use the warm white lights, the mini spots, and then they have a larger, a brighter white light that they use And we use that to light up some of the monuments and the signs, kind of where we would normally use a floodlight.
Right.
We plug those in. We made our own little stands that we screw them to and then set them into the ground, push them right down into the dirt. We just hook them up to a couple of 12-volt power supplies.
Yeah, we use some random landscape lighting on some of the trees or places where we want to throw a large amount of light.
Malibu lights, kind of lights, same kind of thing. The flicker lights come from EFX Tech. They're wick LED lights, and they have a little circuit board at EFX Tech that does a flicker light. So we put a little box together with a bunch of RCA connectors on it, and then just plug all the lights into that, and then plug that into the power supply.
And that's all hooked on a timer. That's the one thing during the week that comes on every night is our lighting system.
Yeah, that's the one thing that comes on every single night. We just have a couple of daylight timers that hook up to each one of the power supplies, and the whole thing comes on at dusk and goes off 4 to 6 hours later.
And because we have a lot of rain, having the low voltage lighting is really important, because if you can send somebody out there, like especially we learned in setup today when they were set up this weekend, and they were setting them up, and we were joking, well, it's really raining out there. We should go get them. I go, well, it's 12 volts. Not like they're in it.
Yeah,
he's
going to
get hurt.
We just don't have that many power cords in the yard anymore, except for a couple of things. And a
couple props that need to be plugged in.
Yeah, or the fog machine, that kind of stuff. But it's mostly just 12 volts, and it creates a more subtle look, a creepier look, creates more shadows.
Yeah, you're not
the LED
so much light
goes
around
against the branches and the leaves and stuff that we lay out and cast really nice shadows. And then there's kind of dark spots in between, so you're just seeing lit-up tombstones. It drastically changed the way the graveyard looked.
Yeah, it did so much that when we did our yard, Bert gave us... we gave Bert a book of our pictures because he was so impressed on how well that all came out.
Yeah. So it looks a lot different than it used to. So anyway, hopefully that was some good tips on lighting, and at least you guys got some insight into how we do it at our graveyard. And if you go to davisgraveyard.com, you can see all the photos up the way we do it now, and then if you look back to some of the old galleries, there's some photos of the old floodlights you can still see.
If you have more questions, you can always email us at either Jeff or Chris at davisgraveyard.com.
Yeah.
Be happy to answer questions for you.
So thanks a lot for listening to us. Happy Halloween.
Bye, everyone.
Feeling colder, yeah, 'cause that's the way. Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Hi, this is Blacklight Mike, otherwise known as Mike Melillo. I'm a special effects makeup artist and an instructor. And today we're going to talk about a Halloween topic close to heart, and that is blood. Oh, forgive the pun. Blood is kind of a thing that's overlooked on Halloween, and generally speaking, there are one or two types of blood available at party stores. We're going to talk about different types of blood and the things that you could do with them, different applications of blood, different types of blood material, and a couple of recipes that are my favorites. But let's just talk about blood in general. What is blood? The human body has about 5 liters of blood in it. That's something to consider when you're making a prop that bleeds. Blood is 2 types in the body, one that's taking oxygen from the lungs and pumping it to the other tissues, and one that is removing the waste materials and carbon dioxide from the tissues and sending them back to the lungs for you to exhale. So when you inhale, oxygen-rich blood is created, and that blood is generally a light color. The waste product, the venous blood that flows back into the lungs, is generally a darker blood. That's something to consider depending on where your victim or your character or your prop is bleeding from. Now, most people don't worry about things like that, but there are other considerations as well when you think about the type of blood you're using. For example, most haunts are very dimly lit, and a realistic-looking blood may look fantastic in a makeup mirror in a well-lighted room, but when you take a regular stage blood and you put it into a very dim lighted haunt situation, it looks black, almost unbelievably so. So what you should consider is a lighter blood for that realistic look. This is what movie makers do. This is if you shoot under different types of gels, we adjust the color and the intensity of the blood to affect the lighting scenario around us. There's also viscosity issues. There are thick bloods, there are thin bloods. These things should be considered as well, because you don't want loose blood flying around. You don't want thick blood just sitting there. You know, these are things to consider with your actor or your prop, and whether or not a blood is going to make it through a pump, for example, or if it's going to spray out of something, or if it's going to be a permanent fixture on your character, you may consider a thicker blood. But I digress. Let's talk about a couple of ways to create blood. Of course, blood is either a mouth blood where somebody is going to be spitting blood out. You want to use a blood capsule. Now, blood capsules are available only unfilled these days at the party stores, so you'll have to make your own blood. For a good mouth blood, I recommend the following recipe. You'll need water, corn syrup, chocolate syrup, 3 colors of food coloring, red, green, and blue, cornstarch or flour if you want to thicken it a little bit. And it goes 1 part of water to 3 parts of corn syrup. Mix it up. Add a few drops of red food coloring first. Add a little at a time and stir and just, you know, see if it's brightly colored. If you want arterial blood, leave it just like it is. If you want the venous or vascular blood, the darker blood, add a green or a blue very slowly to achieve sort of a maroon hue to it. You can overdo this, and if you do, there's no saving it. You can't add more red, throw it out, and start over again. All right, if you want thicker blood, add cornstarch or chocolate syrup to the mix. If it's too orange, add some red. And I said if it's too dark, throw it away and start over again. Let this stand at room temperature for 10 minutes and then have at it. Store any of the unused material in the refrigerator. Okay? Here's another quick one for a thicker blood. This is gelatinous blood that you can use to stain the walls of a haunt or throw around, and it'll sort of stay in place. You want to use glycerin, which is available at a pharmacy. You can get a bottle of glycerin. Strawberry jello, plain gelatin, and our friends the red, green, and blue food coloring. You'll want to warm the gelatin in a microwave. Excuse me, warm the glycerin in a microwave. Don't warm the jello yet. Add 1 tablespoon of the strawberry jello and 1/5 of a packet of the plain gelatin and mix. Add the red food coloring and stir it up. Add a little bit of the green or blue if you want. Stir it until thick. This is not an edible blood because of the glycerin content, but it makes a great decorative thick blood. All right. For even thicker blood, you can use a combination of barbecue sauce, molasses, and chocolate powder. One bottle of barbecue sauce to 2 tablespoons of molasses. Stir in 1/2 teaspoon of chocolate powder and keep adding it until the right color is desired. That's ready to go. That's also slightly edible, though it's not delicious, but it makes a wonderful, thick, gelatinous, almost scabby blood that you can use. All right, so talking to you from my studio, this is Blacklight Mike, and I say, until next time, folks, take care, and every day is Halloween.
Haunting Interviews.
Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul, seal your doom tonight. Spooky, scary skeletons speak with such...
Fright Radio episode 2, I'm kicking it with my homie, and he is a homie, he's a home haunter. It's Steve Blumke, a.k.a. the Boneyard Creep. You can find him on YouTube. I'm actually checking out his page right now. I've been looking at it for a while now. You just go over to the Boneyard Creep. Steve, how you doing? Welcome to Fright Radio.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. It's so awesome. It's my first interview ever, so I'm excited about it, man. It's going to be cool.
First interview ever. Yeah, I mean, watching a lot of your videos on YouTube, I mean, you're usually the one interviewing the other haunters, so now I'm flipping the script on you, and... I mean, it's got to feel a little bit different being on the other end of it, huh?
Yeah, you know, I love doing that. So they flip it every now and then on me, too, but I ask most of the questions. So it's pretty good, man. It's something I'll get back into, I think, this winter because I started doing it so that people had something to be entertained by in the off season, you know. And
yeah.
You know, and me too. I needed something to do, and you know, like I said, called up a buddy of mine, and we just tried it out. The very first one I did there, and it went kind of weird, but just the way I do it, it's the only way I could think of doing it at the time. And then you know, I learned about Google Hangouts, and things kind of changed from there. But I did a few of them, and had some really good haunters on there, and I think it helped them out a little bit to give them a little exposure, and it gave me some more exposure because more people were wanting to watch what I was doing, so
yeah,
my subscription rate went up, and like I said, I might dive into that a little bit more.
That's kind of part of why I'm doing Fright Radio too. You know, I mean, I've really got serious into haunting in 2008, and I think when you reached out, when I was looking for interviews, I saw, you know, and we kind of talked a little bit about this before we're recording here, you know, I was doing a lot of vlogs myself, I dropped off, I came back, and I saw how many people started doing haunt vlogs, and it was both cool and overwhelming, because I was like, man, oh man, how am I going to keep track of everyone out there, you know, but... Definitely the same as you, you know, just looking for something else to do for the downtime, a way to entertain myself, a way to get to know some other haunters out there, which this interview is helping me get to know you, which is great, and just, you know, bringing some more exposure to everybody else, you know, and what they're doing.
You know, you said that, and it's so true about how YouTube has completely changed in the last couple of years. I mean, when I came on, you know, Dave hadn't started anything with Pandemic Cemetery, really. Certainly Dead with Dave wasn't there. And you know, Yard Hunter 5 was one of the first people I watched. Great guy.
Yeah, Steve, yeah.
Yep, learned a lot from him. And but like I said, there's probably maybe 30, 40 people that I was subscribed to that I was watching. Oh man, I probably have 1,000 subscriptions right now that I watch of people. And YouTube is huge, but really Facebook has really exploded in the haunter world, and it's just amazing to me. I don't think it's going to be very long to where we're, you know, noticed a little bit more, especially around this time of the year where more specials are going to start coming out about home haunting and more specials about pro haunting. So it's just, it amazes me. It really does. It really amazes me how many people have come out through social media for haunting and Halloween.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. Social media is exactly what I was just going to say. I mean, it's not, it's definitely a part of the haunt world. You know, whether you're a professional and you have a pro haunt out there, or you're a home haunter just in general, I mean, it's the best way to put out what you're doing, you know, get some feedback on it. You know, whether you're just doing it for fun or you're looking to grow, you know, it's kind of how, you know, it's the second part of what we do now too. I mean, it's also great too, because I mean, I saw a lot of, I don't want to say myself in you, but I think it's in all haunters, you know, someone that's just starting out that kind of starts to look for more, you know, what else is out there? You know, who else is doing this besides me? You know, and what can I learn from them? And obviously the first place you turn is the internet. And YouTube was another place that I mean, when I went on YouTube back in 08, 09 more or less, actually, I would say, you know, there was only a few people on it. You know, the more and more that grew, you know, it's become its own self-contained haunt community on YouTube, because you're all commenting on one another's videos and, you know, just watching what everyone's making. And I mean, just look at take Cauldron Creep, for instance, Devil Chariot, you know, over Haunted Helzondo. He's doing a different haunt this year now. That prop alone, everyone put their own spin on it, you know, and if he didn't post that on YouTube and on his blogs and everything, none of us would have went out and done that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the very first prop I ever made.
Yeah?
Yep. After the 2000, I started in 2011. We did a little thing in my front yard. It was actually, looking back on it now, just dumb.
let's get into that. That's what I want to know. I mean, when was 2011 your first go at it?
Yeah. I had a, you know, I, like I said, I did more than anybody else in the neighborhood did. I had the tombstones out front. I had one green spotlight and one blue spotlight. And I put some hay bales out there with this corny-looking scarecrow with about 8 corn stalks out there. And the kids just went apeshit. And they just went crazy. They couldn't wait to get down to my house. And that was the night I fell in love with it, you know, just watching, you know, I had a little fog machine out there and I'd press the button and the kids would just dance in the fog and it caught me right there. And I swear on November 1st, I was online, I was looking at some stuff and I came across the Cauldron Creek, and November 2nd, I started making one.
So that's where it was. So right after Halloween, you jumped on and you found it, huh?
Yeah, it bit me pretty bad. It bit me really bad, actually. And, you know, my family says, what happened? What happened, man? What happened?
Zero to 60. You became a haunter, and now everyone says you're that guy. You're that weird guy, right?
I think I'll be that guy for sure after this year. You know, my second year. My first year was pretty successful, and you know, I spent the whole year building a lot of stuff and late nights and early mornings. And
so, I mean, I saw your first year, and then I'm sifting through the videos. And again, excuse me, because I'm just playing catch up on everyone's vlogs these days. And I see that you, I mean, not only did you start building more and the level of your skills, I guess, just kept on increasing. But then you go and you do a display in Macy's, of all places. So can you speak on that a little bit, from going from a home setup to Macy's? Because I look at that partially. There's a lot of haunters out there that would love. They get to a point where they almost outgrow their homes and their home haunts, and they want to go pro. But maybe the financial part of it and everything that they see maybe deters them a little bit from doing that. But I kind of see, you know, doing some kind of display like at a Macy's or at a store or, you know, something like that. Maybe that's a second option. Maybe talk a little bit about what your experience was like, good or bad, at Macy's, and, you know, just drop a little knowledge on us.
No. Well, you know, at first it was just all love and roses. You know, I walked in there with a portfolio, with a photo album of some of the things that I had made, and put it all out in front of them and said, "This is what I have." And
well, who'd you speak to in particular? Like, did they?
Oh, it was the general manager of the mall.
Okay.
And the manager. And the guest services lady, I guess you can call her. But my wife works at the mall, and she actually sits on the marketing committee for the mall. And they had said, "Does anybody know anybody who might want to come out and set up some sort of display for a Well, my wife raises her hand, and then she comes home and asks me, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, that would be awesome. Well, I'd be inside, and you know, there won't be any weather, and my stuff won't get wrecked, and you know, gosh, I don't have to pay for electricity to run all this stuff." And it's just, yeah, let's do this. So like I said, I went down there and showed them everything I had. They said, "Oh man, that's terrific. That's what we're looking for. We'll give you 600 square feet. I said, "Well, you know, my backyard's 1,400 square feet. I said, "That's just not going to work." And they were going to put me in a little hallway down at the back of the mall. Okay. So I started walking the mall, and we came to the courtyard in front of Macy's. Of course, I said, "This is great. I'll take this, you know." And that was probably about just a little over 1,000 square feet. So,
okay.
After it was all said and done, though, I got about 900 square feet out of it. And, you know, I had to cut out a lot, but got it all set up. I thought it looked pretty good. And I knew that I was going to be showing about 3,000 kids what I've been building all year. So that was really exciting for me. You know, and I really thought that, wow, I'm going to go from about 140 kids seeing this to 3,000.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the main point. After it was all said and done, the main point was that 3,000 little eyes, 6,000 little eyes, I should say, looked at what I had made, and it put a smile on their face. And that for me, that's what it's all about.
That's great. Now, were you only set up for Halloween, or were you set up for, say, like a week before, or how did that work out?
Yeah, well, Halloween was on a Wednesday last year, and I was set up by Saturday. The Saturday before, which was my Halloween party, and I had about 20 kids coming to the house that I had already invited before I knew I was going to the mall. So I had to rent a party bus, and we bussed all the kids down to the mall so they could see the haunt. But Saturday night was the first night that I lit everything up, and it all worked like a charm. I turned it all off for a few days, and then yeah, I went down there on that Wednesday on Halloween and lit it all back up again. But yeah, nobody saw it complete working order until Halloween.
Gotcha.
Unless they were there Saturday night. There's a few people, but it was a learning experience. And I couldn't have any fog machines. They wouldn't let me set that up, so no fog. The lights were on. They told me they'd shut the lights off, and they left the lights on. The general manager was being a real stickler about that, and that he had to have the lights on for the patrons in the mall. And they didn't want anybody getting hurt because it was too dark. And I said, "I've got 10 spotlights in this damn thing. Are you kidding me? You know, how could that possibly be?"
that's when the haunter part of you kind of creeps in, because you know what you did, and you know how well it's going to look if you just, it's like, just let me do it, you know? Well, just
the hard part about it, Jay, is that you build all year long thinking you're going to be able to do this awesome display in your yard, you know? So all year long, I'm staring through my French doors into my backyard going, that's going there, that's going there. You know, these lights are going there. And yep. I drew it all out. And then all of a sudden, I'm in a mall that's, you know, 700 square feet less than what I had planned. And like I said, I don't want to complain too much about the things that were bad about it, because the kids loved it.
That's what matters, right? That's what matters.
And that is all that matters. All the little Buzz Lightyears and all the ghouls and the goblins and the princesses. And it didn't matter who it was. You know, people wanted to go into the graveyard, take their kids and take pictures next to my tombstones. And what a warm and fuzzy feeling that was. You know what I mean? It was just awesome.
That's cool.
You know, like I said, I'm going to try my hardest to get as many people here this year into my house that I can, and you know, do the donation efforts again. And I did a little bit of donations last year. It wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be. I'm going to try and hit that a little bit harder, because that's important to me too.
Can you speak a little bit? What are your donations going towards?
Well, this year I have. My wife's cousin's son has a disorder. It's very rare in children, and he has about 300 seizures a day, and his medical bills are piling up, and you know, the family's trying to help out as much as we can. They're actually having a fundraiser for him tonight, a silent auction, and my wife is there right now, hopefully getting some wine or something. A silent auction. But, you know, it's important that something comes out of this for me.
Yeah.
And certainly, the happiness of the children. I have six of my own, and they absolutely love Halloween, and they love inviting their friends over, and they love seeing their friends come through. And I like that they're happy about that. So
yeah.
But like I said, I'd like to, you know, do a canned food drive, of course. If somebody wants to bring a can of corn down, that'd be great. You know, they're pushing that big in our state right now, feeding South Dakota.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do that this time of the year because of Thanksgiving and the holidays and whatnot. So I'd like to help out there too. So that'll be on the flyer, both help Casey and bring some food if you'd like.
Cool.
And if you don't, then just come walking through and get some hot chocolate and some candy and have a happy Halloween.
So South Dakota, I mean, is there a big haunt community there? Is it just you?
Or it's just me.
It's just you. it's the Steve Blumke show in South Dakota.
I looked last year. I found a guy. He had a coffin made out of what probably was pallets or fence boards, you know?
Yeah.
And it had a skeleton in it out in his front yard. And I stopped and his name was Jason.
Hey.
Yeah.
His good, name great was Jason. Name.
And I got out and introduced myself, said, hey, I'm set up at the mall. You know, yeah, come out and see what I got going on. And maybe we can get together sometime this year and do some stuff. He's like, nah.
Nah.
I just do this for, you know, a little bit of fun. And,
but that's know, how it starts.
You're right. Eating shit Halloween, you know. So, you know, it's like, all right, well, if you change your mind, you know, come on out. But other than that, nobody in my neighborhood. I mean, there's a pumpkin out on the porch, or you know, a cardboard black cat in the window or something. But I'm gonna blow the doors off this place. I hope people are lined up down the street to come through.
Maybe that's all it takes, though. Maybe it just takes that one guy, you know, to keep on putting on this display until everyone else, at least on your block, says, hey, you know, we got to step up and do something, you know, put that pumpkin out there or something. This guy is...
I get so jealous hearing all the people in Texas and And you and Rich and Sharon and Dave, they're just...
You know what, though?
And doing award shows and...
Yeah, but you know, Jersey has had... We're notorious for getting some freak storm coming through these past...
I'm telling you right now, this year is going to be beautiful for you guys.
I hope
that's
so.
That's all I wish. That's probably my second biggest wish, that I don't have bad weather and that you guys have bad weather.
It's been a terror from a freak snowstorm to Sandy. It's been crazy. I mean, I remember last year we had just moved into our house. This is our first house, my wife and I, and we just had a kid. My daughter, Harper, and I said to my wife, I said, hey, we have this house. I'm putting something out on that lawn. I haven't been building much, but I had plenty. I said, I'm putting something out on that lawn. So I put it out, and the town that we moved into is the town that she grew up in, and we are at the cross section of a street called Bender Avenue, and they shut Bender Avenue down, and almost every house on that block does a display. We tried so hard to get onto that street when we were looking to move, but we couldn't get a house over there. So we kind of settled. I love this house, but we settled for the cross section street. And I said, man, I'm in this town. All I got to do is put some signs up. Says haunted house this way. I got this display. And, you know, I patted myself on the back. I was able to put up something that I was proud of, you know, in the little time I had. And then the wind started coming in when we knew that Sandy was going to come. I saw the tombstones kind of start shaking and everything. My wife looked at me. I looked at her.
I'm
said,
"I'm not laughing, man. I'm not laughing."
Oh, yeah. No, you can laugh. I was laughing, too, because I said, man, the year before this, we had snow. Now we're going to get rain and a hurricane to wipe everything away. So, yeah, we took everything in. Halloween was pretty much canceled. And, that was the end of that. So I'm hoping that you're right, that this year is the year. So we'll see.
You should have told me you're going to tell that story. You ain't gonna bring my tissues. it makes me sad. It does. Because I, you know, like I said before, I'm friends, you know, whether it's YouTube or Facebook or, you know, just online. I mean, it's amazing how many, quotation mark, friends I have.
Yeah.
You know, that I've never met face-to-face.
It's true. Yeah, it's really true.
And that I call friends, and that if I saw walking down the street, I would know that's Sharon. I would know that's Rich. I would know it's you. I would know it's, you know, Steve. I would know it's Mark. I would know it all. I would know. And it just, it breaks my heart, man. You guys did shit on the last couple of years. So, like I said.
So... I mean, we're talking about friends and the community and everything, and, you know, once you started to search everything and you came across YouTube, now, you know, there's so many different avenues the way I looked at it. You know, when I started, I was looking so much at the professional side of things. I kind of came out of the gate doing a charity haunt myself. I skipped the yard. I went right for trying to be a professional haunter without knowing jack shit. I'll just throw that out there. But, you know, after my experiment with that, I kind of, you know, humbled myself and went back to doing the home stuff. And I started looking into it. And, yeah, there's the forums where you get to meet a lot of great people. You know, if you go out to any conventions, you get to meet a lot of great people. And then, obviously, YouTube was an outlet that was growing. And like you just said, you know, I started to meet so many people on there and you start sharing everything and you joined up and, you know, now you do, you know, a lot of videos and you even started, which you were telling me that you're probably going to get back into the Haunter interviews. So can you speak a little bit about the YouTube community and the Haunter interviews that you do on your channel?
Yeah, sure. You know, it was basically me trying to copy other people at the beginning there. I was trying to do some tutorials, and so I started my Cauldron Creep, and I'm like, I'm going to film every little piece of this, and it was like a three-part deal, which at the time I was calling him the Toxic Dweller, because I wanted him to be different. I didn't want to do a skeleton. You know, I covered him in great stuff and put a cape on him and made him a look, just made him look different than everybody else and what everybody else had out there. And then it was funny, once I got the gig with the mall, all of a sudden I decided that that wasn't going to fly. I stripped him down and he was a skeleton. So, you know, like I said, I was just trying to copy some what some other people were doing. I was doing just like a every 2 week vlog sort of deal, maybe every month. And then, like I said, this winter, it wasn't, I was building. I just wasn't, the kids were in school and, I just had to find something that a little bit more to do with my time. And I started doing a weekly vlog, and I only did that for a couple of months, a weekly vlog, and started doing Boneyard Time, and I started doing the Creep Show. And then, like I said, one day a friend of mine, Greg and I were, I said, hey, want to try something different? And he said, sure. And I tried it, and didn't work out so great. But then I did Corey from Columbia Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it to where I would send him a question via video text, and he just sent me the answer back on video text, and I just put it all together in a, you know, an app on my iPhone. So that's all we were, that's all I did there. And then I did Ryan at Herzog Hollow, and then I ended up doing Matt with Lakeshire. Matt. I'm having a brain fart, Matt. Edit that out, please, Jason.
No, nothing comes out of this.
Nightmare on Lakeshire. He actually does the Haunter's Toolbox on Topic Radio. Yeah. So what a character that guy is. He was a fun guy to interview. And then, like I said, that new Beast Haunter's Hangout came out, and everybody was going on there, and we learned a lot.
Yeah.
Of what haunters were doing, how they got started, and Jose put something together really cool there. And I was on there a couple of times, and I enjoyed doing that with him. And I think Jose having some problems now because he chit chat with everybody all summer long instead of doing. It's hot stuff, but.
That's what happens. We end up bullshitting with each other so much, and you know, I got a couple of friends that you mentioned that we were talking today, and some of them were already saying, "Man, I'm so behind. I'm still building this. I'm still building that." I mean, I am myself. You know, I got a plan all laid out. I'm sure hoping it comes together. So we'll see. But but I mean,
I'm doing a lot of name dropping here today, but his haunt's going to be amazing. So he's all about it.
So you follow a lot of us home haunters. Are there any professional haunts out there that have inspired you in any of your creations, or just simply ones that you've been to or want to get to?
Well, you know, there's not a lot here. There's JC's, haunted house here, and that's a corporate deal. You know, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I haven't been to that one here yet. And that's it. You know, I watch Eric at Haunted Overlord.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, I love how he makes everything so big.
Yeah.
I don't make huge things, but a lot of my stuff is big. You know, it's going to be in your face, and it's going to be, it's not going to be an 18-foot skeleton, but, you know, it's going to be a 6 or 8 foot skeleton. So put it that way.
Hey.
So I watch him a lot on Facebook, but I don't really follow the pro haunt yet. I don't have any gore in my haunt at all, and I know when you go pro, that's the seller. You know, that's what a lot of people do. I mean, I'm the Boneyard, so when you come through my yard, my haunt, you're going to see skeletons, and you're going to see scarecrows and crows and owls and.
I think you know. I think you and I are in the same respect. I mean, you know, do the same kind of thing. Because I mean, there's definitely the two sides of it. There's those that really love the gore, and then I think those that keep it a little more PG, PG-13. I mean, I've always been, and I think anyone will probably say this, a big fan of the Disney Haunted Mansion. You know, I like the, you know, there's a creep factor to it, but it's not to the point where your kids are going to be so scared and crying when they leave. You know, so I'm not. You know, I tend to shy away from the gore as well. So,
it's, well, you know, it's so much so that, you know, my 3-year-old can walk into Spirit, and people are like, "Why is she not freaking out?"
Oh yeah,
and I was like, "Well, she's in my garage. she can walk out there and see 20 skeletons staring her in the face, and she doesn't bat an eye at it, you know." Right. So.
My 1-year-old's the same way.
Yeah, I mean, well, you walk into Spirit, and you'll see those kids quivering. You know, some of them are into it. You know, and it's usually. But if you see a 2 or 3-year-old in there, they're usually hugging their dad or their mom. They're kind of nuzzling into their neck when they walk by something. You know, and not my kid. Oh man, any of my kids. They think Spirit Halloween is the place to be, and I can't stand it. But
yeah, well, that's a question. That's a good question for me to ask you. I mean, I think when we all start, you know, doing this, it always starts by going to a store like Spirit and buying those props, and we put those out on the lawn. But then, as you start to get into the whole community and you see everyone making them, you start to shy away from going to stores like that. You know, or it just comes to you have an idea for a prop and the store doesn't sell it, you know, or you can't afford it from another vendor, so you have to go and make it. I mean, do you look at it that way now, where if you see something in the store, you say to yourself, "Oh, I can make that at home," or everything that I do for my haunt, I have to make myself?
Yeah, I can't see spending $200 on anything or $2,000 on anything. I don't per se see, I can make that. Oh, I can make that. I can, you know, if I can find it on YouTube and somebody shows me how to do it, I can make it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not inventive or ingenious at all. I try to do things a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I try to put a twist on something here and there. I didn't get my plans for my Cauldron Creek from, you know, from anybody except for a guy on YouTube.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't download plans or anything. I just put it together, and it's been through 3 different transformations now in 2 years. But it has to get better.
Do you always go for a consistent look, or do you try to change up your display every year?
Well, again, it's only my second year, so we'll see how that goes down the road. I really don't want it to come stale. And I really don't want to keep building to where I can't put anything in my yard anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always thought it would be a pretty cool idea for a business if you could make 5 or 6 different scenes, like a hanging witch scene or a graveyard or an insane asylum or something like that. And have 6 scenes that you could sell to people. You know, for rent, you know, for rent it, you know, that you would go out to their yard and you'd set it all up for them and take it all down in the month of October, you know, and charge them $1,000 or $2,000, you know, and then, you know, you would get ideas to do something different in your house every year too, you know. Somebody's going to steal that now. It's probably already out there.
Patent pending. Put a trademark on that now.
Right? Yeah, right.
You never know who's listening.
I was talking with a friend about that the other day, about would that be a good idea or not. It's just like any idea, there's pros and cons.
There's companies out there definitely are renting things out. Not full scenes that I know of, but definitely props. So, Rob Cometti,
it's no different than Christmas. You know, there's people out there that'll go out there and put lights on your house and set a Santa Claus up in your front yard and charge you freaking arm and a leg for it.
Yeah, we would just take that Santa Claus and light it on fire, though. I mean, that's probably the only difference.
So the windshield wiper on his head, and it spins around, and
I always bitched and moaned. Now, I've never gone to, I don't know about yourself, if you've gone to any trade shows or if you're looking to go to any of the shows or conventions, but I always watch all the ones that I can't make to. I check out on YouTube as well, like the Trans World Show. It's a big show that I'm really hoping to go to this year, but I remember seeing video, and there happened to be one in particular vendor. It's probably good that I don't know the name, but they had a huge blow-up Santa at this pretty much specific Halloween trade show. And I said, man, if I knew what vendor that was, I'd go there and pop that Santa in a second.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Exactly.
Do you ever, I mean, I know, again, this is your second year. You're kind of starting more, you know, doing more and more. Have you gone to any shows? Would you like to go to any shows out there? Any trade shows?
No, I've never been to one. I will be at Midwest this year. Ah. I don't care if I have to sell one of my kids.
Oh, hey.
You know?
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. No, I'm going. I am going. It was something I was trying to put together this year. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I never really said to anybody, hey, I'm going. I'm going to Midwest, but I'm saying it right now on your show. I am going to Midwest Honors Convention in Ohio on first weekend of June. I think it's 8th and 9th this year. I'm going.
All right, guys. If you want to meet...
it's on the 6th and 7th, so...
If you want to meet the Boneyard Creep, you got to head to Midwest. He's going to be there.
Yeah, so. Well, there's going to be a lot of people there this year. There was a lot of people there last year.
Hey, I was talking to the crew here, friends, and we were all talking about potentially trying to make it to Midwest this year. So
I think that's where the party is, and I think... what do they say about Trans World? You have to go there, but you want to go to Midwest? Is that how it goes? You have to go to Trans World, but you want to go to Midwest.
I've heard sayings, yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, we'll see what comes of it. It'd be cool to definitely meet up at Midwest. So,
no doubt.
Well, it's almost getting to that time, so before we wrap things up, I kind of just want to pick your brain on where do you think the future of the Boneyard Creep is going? What's your hopes for or for this Halloween, you know, for you and for everybody? And, you know, any last – and also, please, too, because you're doing the donations, I do think it's a great cause. I love to see people that are trying to give back in a great way. Such as yourself, you know, there's a lot of people out there that will put the donations out there simply to collect for the work that they've done, you know, but it's always really great to see someone that's doing, you know, what you're doing. So, I mean, if anyone, you know, we can't all come your way and, you know, and see your haunt and provide something, but if there's a way that they can reach out to you as well, you know, and if they want to donate something, you know, if you can leave us off with that too, that would be great.
Well, yeah, you know, as far as the future goes, I guess what I would like someday is to maybe join forces with, like, maybe a pumpkin patch or something like that, to where I can go out and I can set up to where people can just walk through without having to pay. You know, I'm not looking to go pro with any of this. I just would like to get more involved in the community. I have a modest home. I have, like I said, a 1,400 square foot backyard. And I just think that there's only so much that I'm going to be able to do even after this year. So I would like to get out somewhere where I've got a cornfield or you know, like a pumpkin patch that's got hay bales and hay rides and stuff like that I can set up in it. Even if I do it for free, if I can get donation efforts and things like that put together, that's where I'd like to see myself going here in the next couple of years. Whether it's here in South Dakota or somewhere else, you know, there are a lot of cornfields here in South Dakota. A lot.
That's a lot of opportunity.
So I might branch out that way. I think that's kind of the place I'd like to go, just get have some more room and have more people to be able to enjoy what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, not have a haunt or or so much so that I'm scaring little kids. But maybe just, you know, amp it up, maybe one or two more decibels, you know?
Yeah.
But, as far as donations, I really don't have a PayPal account or anything like that. You know, of course, if any of you out there, you know me, I'm on Facebook a lot. I'm theboneyardcreep@gmail.com. You can email me there too. And like I said, we're trying to help Casey and their family out with some of their medical bills and some of their travel expenses. And, he's a good kid. I've known him since he was born, and it's a sad story that somebody's got to go through that and that they can't do anything to help him out. So, but I apologize. I don't know exactly what it's called that he has. I should know. And I will know before I print out flyers, I'm pretty sure, so I can explain to people. But, I appreciate you bringing that up, man. That means a lot to me. So,
anything that we can do to help, and I'm sure, there's going to be people listening that are definitely going to want to reach out to you and help, too. So it's, Horners helping Horners. There's a lot of that in our industry and in our community, and I think that's the way to be. It's the way to go.
It is. It'll come back for you. It'll mm-hmm. come back for you. I tell you, you help one person out, and there's someday you never know when that person will come back to help you out. So I firmly believe that.
Well, Steve, I appreciate you taking the time out of your night. I know it's a rough one with all the kids running around and everything, but you know, I
actually be pretty good.
Good.
Not even an interruption tonight. So.
Wait till you're off of this thing.
Well, I appreciate you doing it too. You know, I could sit here and talk to you all night. It seems, and we just met, so that's pretty cool.
It is.
I love that when that kind of thing happens. So
it's a match made in heaven, and I'm sure when I edit this out, there'll be some kissy noises in there too.
It's a new bromance.
Oh man, well, you heard it here first. That's the next. Hey, all you frighteners out there, it's going to be the next segment on Fright Radio, Bromance. So if you're looking for a bromance, we'll get...
Bromances. Get your beers.
Yeah. Cheers and beers. Yep. So, Steve, thanks again for everything that you're doing in the community, and thanks for taking the time to be on Fright Radio.
Anytime, man. Thanks so much.
Now, before we head out of this edition of Fright Radio, we have a few quick messages that we want to send your way, and one is coming right from the Davises about the Home Haunters DVD collection. I'm going to throw it on over to them to talk a little bit about this.
Hi, this is Jeff Davis.
And Chris Davis.
We're with the Davis Graveyard and the Home Haunter DVD collection. We just wanted to let everybody know that... take lots of video and photos of your display this year, and... if you want to, you can send that information to us at hauntersvideos.com, and we'll include your haunt video or pictures on the DVD for free. We take anybody's DVDs or anybody's video produce this DVD set that's been around for how long?
14 years. This will be its 14th year, so it probably makes it the oldest Home Haunter DVD collection or awards ceremony. Also, to submitting them is great, but we also can grab your YouTube video. You just have to send us an email with permission saying that we can download your video off YouTube.
Yeah, we don't put anything on the DVD that somebody doesn't want us to. But anybody who has videos is definitely welcome. We just wanted to give you guys a reminder to submit your stuff, or at least make sure you videotape it this Halloween. We take submissions all the way up to the beginning of mid-February, so we have plenty of time to get it together.
Yeah, and unlike YouTube, you get a really nice high resolution watching it on your TV.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So
nice little set to either give away for friends or keep as a keepsake from all the videos that people do all over the country.
Mm-hmm. It's been a tradition. We'd like to see it continue. So happy haunting, everyone.
Yeah, thanks.
So all my haunt friends out there, if you have your videos edited, please send them in to the Davises. It is a great collection. It's worth doing. It's always awesome to see everyone's haunts and all the hard work, blood, sweat, and fears that you guys put into your haunts. It's great to see it on screen, and it's a collection that I hope keeps on going for many years to come. I just want to say a quick thank you to my entire Fright team again for all the great segments that they provided for this month's episode. Also, big thank you for the Boneyard Creep, Steve Blumke, for the awesome interview. It was great talking with him. Remember, for any questions, comments, suggestions, you can reach us at FrightRadioPodcast@gmail.com. And always check out FrightRadio.blogspot.com for all the information, outlines of the show, pictures, videos, clips, everything that we can possibly give to you for Fright Radio. Until next time, my haunt fiends.